Good morning, marketers, and welcome to the Iffy Market Podcast, brought to you by Mountaintop Data and Johto PR. We are the only podcast that markets the shit out of it. I'm Sky Cassidy, and today we'll be talking with Dan Nelken of Nelken Creative about humor in copywriting. One of my favorite subjects. I went and hunted Dan down. I love this subject. I'm so happy. We've mentioned it in past episodes, but we've never really had somebody that could dig into this the way I plan on doing with Dan today. So Dan's worked with some of the most creative ad agencies in Canada. We can insert like the butter on bum right there. And some of the world's largest brands. And he's worked for startups that have raised billions, I believe.
Billions
of dollars. And we're really happy to have you on today, Dan. Thanks.
Oh, man, I've been looking forward to it. So, and looking forward to this chat for sure. And one of my favorite subjects, I think it should be fun.
Yeah, that's the whole point, right? More things should be fun. Started proselytizing. I do not know how long ago on this show that marketing departments need to have a comedian on staff. They're so cheap. Like they're going out and doing open mic nights. And it's like, if you offer them $5 a joke, they'll probably write for you.
There's so many parallels to like good stand-up comics and good copywriting. I think, you know, people, I think when I started my career too, I think I thought funny was doing something no one had ever like thought of or something way out there. But when you realize it's just human truths. It's just observations on human truths. And I think the best marketing when you're selling a product is finding the truths related to your product and your product category. And that's what comedians do so well. They take the everyday and they twist it. They're not inventing new truths. They're just, I think we wouldn't laugh if it wasn't relatable in some way.
And they typically distill it down, which in copywriting, you can't have a 5-page funny story. Like, sorry, but keep it to a tweet, kind of do a haiku and make it funny. But and comedians are good at that. They only get a couple jokes sometimes.
Yeah, they don't have much time. And think of punchlines. It's the same way you want to structure your writing, whether it's a joke or whatever you want to emphasize. You want to move it to the end of your sentence in writing. It doesn't always have to be funny, but that's what comics do well. I think we could learn a ton from them.
So I think the episode's done. Go hire a stand-up. Go down to your local open mic night and offer somebody a job. Get a stand-up on staff. The end. So humor and copywriting. A lot of people think they're funny.
Yeah.
And then they try to write copy, or they're putting out stuff, and it can either be offensive, or it can be just not land with anybody, or they think they're funny because they are really into puns, and it doesn't necessarily help the marketing. Where do you want to start, I guess, with this topic of humor and copywriting?
Well, I think we can talk about, especially the last few years, brands have been taking themselves way too seriously. And I think it's kind of like it's a weapon, and you kind of go against the grain. And I think the point of all marketing and advertising is to stand out. There's a great line by a guy. I don't know if he still works there, but he used to work for Office Max. And he said, all advertising is unwanted. So if you're going to crash the party, you better bring champagne.
Yeah. All advertising is spam. I like that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think even people who work in marketing and advertising, I mean, we're skipping ads on YouTube.
So the reason we have content, the Lone Ranger was created because you didn't want to watch the soap ads. If the soap ads were awesome, you wouldn't get the content. You'd just get the ads.
Yeah.
But nobody really wants them. So I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I think you say brands have gone like serious. I think they've gone kind of what they've split and gone one direction or the other. Because I think some brands, some of the best commercials on TV are formerly boring products that realized they were boring. So some brands have gone, and frequently they followed the why and said, well, now we need to have some sort of greater cause. And so that's going to be our super boring commercial about nothing about our product or our clients or anything like that. And the other brands, the super boring products, insurance is a huge one. Like they have all exploded in the humor direction. And now all their commercials are just like, oh, we'll make a joke and then ding, throw up our insurance logo.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, that says two things to me. There's a lot of funny copywriters out there. I think there's a lot of brands who don't go there or too afraid to go there. And that I think, you know, brands like that are recognizing there's real opportunity in doing this. But I guess I was more referencing like through COVID and politics that have dominated headlines, just felt like every brand felt the need to comment on that. I was like, I don't want that from you.
Right.
And
well, that's the serious why, I would say. But
yes, yes.
Progressive Insurance, I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they make these funny, all the insurance Geico companies, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Just said, let's go the humor route, which is probably a lot more appreciated than the, the constant, like, I don't need to know where my breakfast cereal stands on these great world issues. Just try not to poison me with sugar.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, provide value in some way. And then humor's one way to do that instead of just talking about yourself, which a lot of brands of all sizes do.
So it seems like humor, though, can be dangerous in that. I mean, a lot of big brands probably would never, they're not willing to go the humor route because there's a committee of 50 people that have to approve the commercial, and you can't really get a bunch of people to agree on humor. You kind of have to take one person and trust them and say, write the joke. If you do, everybody write one word of the joke, it's no joke.
No, I know. I think one problem with big brands, I'd say all brands, is they think everybody needs to laugh at the joke, when they would rather throw something that made 50% of their audience laugh, like just throw it out. Because it doesn't hit 100%. But I mean, it's like choosing a restaurant. Like, it can be hard with one person to pick a restaurant you love. You add 20 people that, you're going to end up in a very bland place.
Right, right.
You know,
so Geico has this strategy where, and I think they may have kind of originated and everybody followed them with a humor route in the insurance market, but they seem to do it really well in that it almost seems like they say, let's have 10 writers and each one has their own piece of property and comes up with a concept that they own and they can flesh out, because everyone has their least favorite and most favorite Geico commercial. It's like, I hate that one. I hate that one. I hate that one. Oh, this one's good. It's like, that's all they're really looking for is in any marketing message. I see that with standard messaging, forget the humor. People will think this message has to get everyone. And I say, no, make 20 messages. And this one gets, if they each get, 2% of your audience, then you got 40% of the audience that likes the message eventually.
Yes. I think every piece of communication is like a brick, and you can't look at one and be like, well, this flopped. Let's change direction. Like,
this only got us a couple deals. What about the other 98% of the potential market? Well, make another creative.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't it. Yeah. This isn't everything. It's one thing.
So humor can miss and still hit as long as it hits with somebody.
Yeah, I think so. And as long as it's not offending anyone.
It does more good than harm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Even I was looking, I have a newsletter, which maybe we'll talk about later, or it's in the show notes. But at one point I had a subject line that said, when Karens attack. I thought it was kind of funny, and I was going to go into
there's a lot of people named Karen out there. You watch out.
Dude, yeah. I looked into it just to research, because it was something, as much as I thought it was funny, and something like 35 years ago, there were 40,000 people born or named Karen. There was like 600 or something last year. On top of that, the amount of bullying of young girls named Karen. Oh. So I was just like, I can't do it. And someone had messaged me, another writer, and said they liked that newsletter and said something about the subject line. I said, oh, this is the other one. And they were like, oh, you should have gone with that. And it was funnier, I think. But when I gave him that information, he was like, oh, yeah, good call. I think that's like, you have to be, especially as brands, you are a target. Bigger you are, the bigger the target. And you have to be responsible with your humor and all your messages.
By the way, this episode is sponsored by Dave Chappelle and Netflix.
There you go. Yeah.
felt I had to mention that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So go ahead and send us a cease and desist. Obviously, that was a joke. So getting in, I mean, there's the general convincing people, hey, try using humor.
Yeah.
And then there's the actual, oh, wait. Try using humor. Like, you got to come up with a concept. You got to come up with. So I feel like there's two ways to approach it, maybe. And that's add a little humor to your existing copywriting, and mm-hmm. then there's come up with a humorous concept for a campaign. Do you have a preference in those two areas? Do they don't have the do they have their own place? How would you go about that?
Well, I think it's hard to just write funny. You know, I think for most people, the people who don't know, who think they're funny and aren't funny, they have no problem with them.
if you're not funny, you can write funny.
Yeah, it's really easy. I think, you know, you kind of need a reason for being your brand. You do have to know your brand. You have to know the opportunities where you can be funny. What are you against? What are your values as a brand? Who are your enemies, which maybe we get into in this if I share some examples later. All of that will be like fodder, and you'll just kind of be a radar on for these observations. So I think any writing, you don't start with writing and sitting down, I'm going to write some jokes. You do come up with observations and insights, and you start thinking first, and then you have some material to work with. It probably comes out pretty straight at first, and then you have to like craft it, and you get better at it. You know, you don't walk into a gym and see someone lifting some serious weight and try and do it and say, oh, well, I'm not strong. Right. I think it's the same. People start to write or be creative, and nothing happens within 8 seconds, and they start to panic, and you know, the inner critic kicks in, and they're like, well, I guess I'm not creative, and
I don't have a joke yet.
I'm terrible. It doesn't work that way. You do get better at it, but I think if you know you're not good, hire a copywriter. That would help.
Yeah, get a stand-up comic.
Stand-up comic.
Again, you're not going out and cheaper. Getting somebody's name you recognize, but
yeah,
you know, even the guys who are no one knows who they are yet, and they're at the local deli smoker doing stand-up night, can probably punch some stuff up with a little humor.
But
I'm going to put it in my profile.
Yeah. Don't
put it in yours.
Okay.
And hopefully again, all the lawsuits are going to abound from humor, but mm-hmm. I think I'm going to start declaring that I am a writer for Laffy Taffy.
A writer for Laffy Taffy.
Because they have the best jokes. If you've ever read a Laffy Taffy joke, it's like a collection of all the worst, like 4-year-old jokes you've ever heard.
Well, are they puns?
They're puns. They're just everything bad you can imagine. So I remember, I think we did a campaign one time.
Yeah.
We either did it or talked about doing it and never quite pulled it off, where we just in each campaign, we'd have our pitch, but we would start or finish just with a little like, hey, here's a Laffy Taffy joke.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's it. And now let's tell you about our product.
Well, one thing I'll say there is like, and a tip for people is to make sure the humor comes out of the product. It's not just funny and then you're tacking it on. I don't know if you remember the Taco Bell stuff. Yo quiero mm-hmm. Taco Bell, the little chihuahua.
Right.
Through the course of that campaign, sales went down, but actually the sales of chihuahuas went up, which wasn't their product. I think you have to make it about your product and make sure the humor is born out of product insights, whether it's your targets or the product or service itself.
Fast food, I think it's Jack in the Box. They had some hilarious with like the stoner, just kind of subtly recognizing, yes, 99% of the people who eat at a restaurant are stoned.
But they did stuff when they created Jack, who... The guy who, the copywriter who wrote that was the voice of Jack and Jack. He's, I won't say his name because I might get it wrong. He's amazing.
He basically wrote himself in so that he's like, he gets the royalties on like he's involved in everything.
He was just the man for the job.
Yep.
They were so funny. And one of his best skills is... Like with Jack in the Box, they had Jack talking to a bunch of school kids in one commercial. And when this little girl puts up her hand and says, Jack, how do you know if you're a lesbian? And he's sitting there and he just, I don't know the names of their burgers, but he's like, well, let me tell you about our whatever burger. And he just, it's all about product. But the setup was kind of this girl. He obviously didn't have an answer for that.
Right.
There was early on, I think it was like salmonella from some of their burgers. I think someone died in
Seattle. They had an instance in maybe the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
With the death burger. Yeah.
And one of the commercials coming out of that after, like, you know, they went quiet for a while was Jack in the box character had a burger and was like, hey, you should try this burger. And this guy was scared of it and started running away from him. And he was chasing him over fences and pinned him down and shoved it in his mouth. And, you know, they didn't hide from it. They embraced it. And they had a lot of, like, messaging around what happened, but they also kind of ran with humor. And Jack in the Box is great.
That's tough to come back from. Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So there is a lot. I find myself watching commercials more than the shows frequently just to see how good or bad. Like, my least favorite commercials are probably car commercials.
Oh, they're the worst.
The boring product, and they're terrible now. They don't even tell you, like, here's the APR you're going to get in the miles per gallon now. They're just like, here's some puppies. Here's this, nothing to do with the car. Here's that, nothing. All cars are good. I think they haven't matured. It wasn't long enough ago that they had actual distinguishing features from the competition. So they were like, oh, we can do this and this and that. Even trucks have gotten away from, like, towing capacity. Yeah, forget about it. They all can do all the great stuff now. Mm-hmm. Cars got to a commodity point, basically, where they're all good. So there's no longer a need to highlight any of the product features, but they haven't figured it out yet, it seems like. So they've gone the why route. Mm-hmm. And it's like, find some comedy, please.
Well, you can just switch logos around for most cars. Like, there's nothing that stands out. Volkswagen is the one that consistently over the years has done great work. That's been funny, smart. They've done interesting work.
They had awesome. A scandal also. Maybe you need a big scandal in order to get funny.
Yes. Do you know Volkswagen? The task was, like, an agency in New York in the 50s. We're like, how do we sell a German car after World War II to a lot of Jewish people here in New York? They pulled it off. There's all kinds of stories from back in the day, and they went the humor route, and they kind of embraced their dirt because it was like the, you know, the Volkswagen Beetle, even calling it a Beetle, and everyone was calling their cars Mustangs and this and that. They were just, like, you know, kind of normal and imperfect, which really worked for them. Everyone else on every other channel is, like, just showing their perfect side, never showing their cracks. And I think Volkswagen is one brand that's stood out. But otherwise, I agree completely. The my least favorite category is automotive.
Commercials to watch, yeah. Hopefully yes. They'll mature into something interesting at some point.
Yes.
Either give me information I can use or make it interesting, but they've just been terribly boring to watch. Yeah. So I'd like to make sure the listeners, like, I want to give them, we're going to do a lot of fun philosophical talk about humor here. A lot of convincing maybe listeners to please consider using humor. Do not be a car commercial. But I'd like to get into some nuts and bolts of it too.
Okay.
Like, can you give us the equation for good humor, basically?
Well, no, but I think I can help a little bit. You know, whether you can't afford a copywriter or a comedian, and just some tips to add some personality to your writing. I can give you the listeners some structures and then different angles that they can kind of work into.
I like that. Add personality. And you mentioned before that your humor should be within the personality of your company. So just having some, you know, maybe that's why we didn't use the Laffy Taffy. It was like, well, this isn't, this is just kind of stapling on a joke to see, like, look, now watch our pitch. This is our Lone Ranger and it's a really bad one. 10 seconds of Lone Ranger and then a half hour commercial. And it's a terrible show.
But yeah.
Using the personality of the company and having a personality that you're sticking true to with your humor. It seems if you think your company has a personality and there's no humor in there, then it's gotta be a pretty shitty personality. I can't think of many people are. I'm like, that guy has a great personality and there's no humor involved in it.
He's not funny though. Yeah.
Like Juan flew over the cuckoo's nest, his personality.
Yeah.
When he gets the lobotomy is not great.
Yeah. No, I know. And I think with your personality, if you have a list, most companies have, like, you know, three or four words. I don't think many have the word funny in there, and I think that's okay. But, you know, you can take it from a different trait. If you're bold, an easy one is like a hot sauce, then your personality can be bold. So your humor would be bold. So you're taking it out of one of the traits and personality traits of your brand. Sometimes it's funny, not always.
And make one of the traits maybe like second funniest guy in the room.
Yeah, second funniest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe what I'll do, I collected some stuffs and I'll go through some structures for okay. people. And this
way,
will
that's
make
me
you...
right now. I'm by default the second funniest guy in the room.
I don't know about
two
that.
Of us.
No,
so.
I don't know about that.
God, I hope so. Otherwise, why are you on the show, man?
I guess that's a good point. I'm very serious about this.
I'm serious okay. about humor. Now let's get down to the points here. Bullet points.
Okay, I'm going to share some examples from other people who are funnier than both of us, maybe. And then some from me that show I'm funnier than you and prove it. Okay. So this first technique is called, I call it a list and twist. And this is when you list at least two or three items and the last one is twisted. And so you can play with a contrast where they're kind of straight. So a lot of people you'll see do this in their bios, and you can do this on your social media bios, or if it's for your company to, straight kind of descriptors and then twist the last one.
So let me give an yeah. example of this for you from your bio. If I remember oh,
yeah.
correctly,
yeah.
it talks about where your work has been shown, like, your work yeah. has been in award shows and it's been here and been there and it's been on your mom's fridge.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Okay. And those are fun. Like, so Ellen DeGeneres on Twitter, she has a comedian, talk show host, ice road trucker.
I thought I was going to say terrible person to work for.
She needs to update it.
That would be a great one for her to add. I'd give her credit if she did.
Yes.
That.
Yes. True. Yeah. That's embracing your dirt. There you go. That's something we might cover. There was a headline for the Denver Museum of Science. They did a feature on the Amazon, and the headline was, when you travel down the Amazon, you're one of three things: fisherman, tourist, or dinner. And then I use them often. So, I'll say subscribe to my newsletter for tips on copywriting, creativity, and the mating rituals of the European water vole, which is pretty ridiculous. I think the
so
one thing,
a whole bunch of people interested in European water voles in your newsletter, and you're like, crap, wrong audience.
You know, what's great about doing this, like, even if most people think it's stupid, I have got messages from people saying, really disappointed you promised water vole content. It just, man, it's so fun. And I think one thing with that, the mating rituals of the European water vole, or Ellen DeGeneres going ice road trucker. It wasn't just trucker. I didn't use just vole.
Right.
Specificity.
Get specific.
Specificity is funny. It can add humor.
Right. I'm actually going to add that, as I know you're saying list and twist is kind of a technique, but be specific. I've heard that from many comedians yeah. saying, like, hey, the point of the joke is you don't mention a cracker. You have to say the brand of cracker, or something. Yeah. Like, get very specific.
I think it's Jerry Seinfeld who said, you know, when he started comedy, he said, if I could, as long as I can afford a jar of Skippy peanut butter and a loaf of Wonder Bread, I'd be happy. And he did name the specific brands, exactly what you're saying. It did make it funnier than just peanut butter and bread.
Mm. You know what? I think I didn't realize it, but I do this in my own bio. I believe it's still there. I haven't looked at it in a long time, but I think my final mention is that I am a color commentator for, it's either ping pong or like amateur yeah. ping pong or something like
yeah,
that.
Great.
I throw in something, although I have done that in office. I have color commentated our company tournaments. So
yeah, nice.
Partially true.
Yeah. I mean, I think people can do something, say something weird and kind of out there. I think if it's a truth, it's better. If there's something you're interested in, if it's knitting, you can make up that you knit pants for squirrels. Like,
right.
just
say knitting, put yes. something specific again.
Yeah. And if you can't come up with anything, then just put knitting, because it would be better than something that's really straight.
So one of the most effective creatives I've ever seen, mm-hmm. and it's now been so heavily used, I think it's totally crapped out. but it was effective for probably at least a decade, was the creative that is following up to a previous message saying, hey, I didn't hear back from you. Are you not interested, busy, or, and then there'd be the third
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, your desk fell on you and you need help, let me know and I'll come with a crane lift or some sort of a reason you physically can't get back to them.
Yeah.
And as kind of terrible as it is, it's the same technique. And we were using it a decade ago and we probably used it for like 5 years straight. Mm-hmm. And as bad of a creative as I thought it was, we kept using it year after year because it was still effective. And people be like, that's hilarious. Funniest thing I've seen. And we're like, we've been using this for 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's effective.
Yeah, it is. I think it's like it's misdirect. And I think because it's familiar too, you just think you know where it's going and it kind of works every time. You can even do it with a partner. If you have a partner and you have a shared grocery list, just add some things to the end that I'm not expecting.
They'll come home with them. That was really hard.
Thank you.
When humor goes wrong.
That's our follow-up.
You got a Doberman. Oh my God.
What
you put on that list.
Yes, that's true. There's one more. This is kind of an easy one for people who aren't funny. Twist a popular saying. I think some people will say just use cliches and quotes. I never do, not in a headline, but I think you take that borrowed interest, it's popular, and you twist it. I'll give some examples of some brands who have done that. So this one is for ABC TV. They were promoting their comedy shows and they had a headline that was, "Laughter is the best medicine. Unless you're really sick, then you should call 911.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So they're starting out with something common. You think you know where it's going. There was one on a veterinary clinic, the sign kind of, outside that said, "It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone." There's a bakery that "God never said, give us this day our daily kale." So if you're going to do this, I think you can list things related. If you have an active product, list quotes, sayings related to sweat, getting sweaty. And then list like just any quotes and then just look for ways you can twist them and add in something that's related to your product.
I love that, twisting a quote. Yeah. Cause you're using something that people already recognize. So they have the familiar and then you're making it specifically relevant to your product. That seems like it's almost an equation. Like, hey, just go find a quote, twist it to your product. Boom. Funny, familiar, short, nailed it.
But don't do something like "keep calm" and podcast on or something like that. Like,
yeah, please don't use the "keep calm" one. I've seen that so many times.
I hate it. What's one thing I would say is just whatever you come up with, just do a Google image search. And if you see a lot of it, it's really funny, and then you
find out it's crapped out. The "keep calm" one, I had to search years and years ago where that was. I didn't even know where it was from. I just started seeing it so much. I was like, okay, what's the origin of this? And going back to World War II, I think, is the original source, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, wow. People have been crapping this out for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's lots. There's just twisting one word. There was one I saw. It was this kid who did every day for a year, he challenged himself to write a headline. And he had one for Tic Tac breath mints that just said, "You lost me at hello."
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're just taking something that exists and injecting a word or something to make it your own.
Damn, that could sell a lot of Tic Tacs. That's going to be stuck in my mind now.
I hope the kid got a job. I don't know.
If you can write lines like that, okay, somebody go find that kid, because if he doesn't have a job, you got some golden headlines here.
Yeah. So,
you mentioned headlines several times.
Yeah.
Are we talking primarily headlines for this? Is it for headlines and for the main copy, whether it's email copy, website copy, tweets? What's the, I guess, main target people should be thinking about for humor? Or is there one?
No, I mean, I'm using the word headlines because I'm trying to sell a book here. No, I'm not.
Well, you do have a book coming out.
Well, it is about headlines. So that's where these examples come from. But nobody has to buy my book. I enjoy talking about this. I just want you to add more personality to the world. That's my mission here.
Nobody has to buy your book, but you will kill a puppy if they don't.
Yes, every day.
Yeah, so
every single day.
Think about it that way. And he's just going to guess whether you bought it or not. So you better make sure he knows.
I'm using headlines just because in the world of copywriting and ad agencies, they don't do a lot of, I'll say, professional development or building your craft once you're in. And it's something we have to do a lot. So whether it's a billboard, it could be a subject line in an email, it could be a line of copy anywhere, an Instagram post, a tweet. I keep using the word headlines because it's kind of
it is the first impression, mind, though. If you don't, if we go to emails, the subject line, if you don't get them with the subject line, there is nothing else. They don't open. It's like if your book's title sucks, Dan, nobody's going to open it. So you got to have a good, you might want to go back and revisit. You got to have a good title.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Thanks. I mean, you lost me at hello as a subject line in an email. I don't know. Yeah. I think we'd have a good open rate.
Now you better have relevant because I want to use that just to get the open rate. Then I realize, shit, we have a law. The body of the email actually has to fit the subject line.
Yeah. So
now I got to somehow match that.
Okay. I got a couple more for you.
Okay.
This one is, just called, it's called the smile. I also call it the mullet, where it's like business in the front, kind of party in the back. So you get the straight message up front. And this is like when you have a really good offer or a sale, or, you know, just a straight message that you need to communicate, a sponsorship ad. So you could do 50% off, you know, everything must go except Agnes in accounting. She stays. We're proud to support the LGBTQ community, even when there isn't a parade. Take a strong stance against global warming, order some pizza or something. That is something I wrote all of those for different clients. That last one was for an Enviro Visa, that anything you purchased, some points went to some environmental fund. And so we made fun of it, and they were fine with that.
So as long as the straight message is short enough.
I mean, and
I always tell people the thing you want people to get to, it's basically don't put it below the fold in an email is, if they have to scroll down to get to the punchline, they're not getting to the punchline.
Yes.
The paragraph of serious stuff.
Totally. Yeah. Bud Light did one. It was just picture their beer and it said, please enjoy responsibly. The internet never forgets. So yeah, it was like three words off the top to get the message. They you know, obviously have to produce a certain amount of content related to responsible drinking. And then they just add a little twist to fit in, and they've done some great stuff over the years. So yeah, that I call the smile or the mullet, just to add some personality to something very straight, but get the harder working important message up front. And if you are writing for a client, a lot of times they feel like their product is buried. And this is a way to kind of give them what they want, and they may feel relaxed and heard, and then let you have fun.
So the humor is the chaser here. It's like, okay, you have the medicine, and now we're going to have a chaser to wash it down. I love the mullet. Don't call it the smile. Mullet.
Okay.
It's got humor built right in.
Yeah, you're right.
My wife tells me I recently grew a mohawk.
Yeah.
Like humor, visual humor, especially when during COVID I did it. You take the buzzers and do it yourself. So the back, you don't get to see. And it's just this crazy raccoon tail of a mullet on the back of your head, and you don't know it. So everybody gets to laugh behind your back naturally, since that's when
do you, and is it sticking? How high does it go when you go out?
Sometimes
you don't look like this.
I went to an official event and I'll frequently just put on a hat. So I went to a wedding and I stood it up for the wedding.
Yeah.
But normally I follow the belief that if you're going to be punk rock, and mullet is kind of punk rock, spending 3 hours standing your hair up and coloring it every day isn't very punk. I don't know. That just seems like you have this regiment you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is that sticking it to the man? I'm like, no, I'm going to wake up and be full, like Last of the Mohicans, just however I roll out of bed. Mohawk,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And then sometimes the chia pet grows in on the side. And I, you know, if you're going to tell people with your hair that you don't give an F, then you can't spend all day showing them that. Like, that's a little bit too much effort to tell them that you don't care.
I do that with my breath. just give it up.
Oh, yeah. Back to the, it's a good throwback. Now, what about that? Throwbacks. That's big in comedy, right?
Yeah.
Is there room for that in copywriting? Is there time in a message to do a throwback?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it was, so I would say this maybe applies more like radio, TV scripts, Instagram posts, wherever you have kind of longer copy. And usually the rule is like, if you have a headline or your subject line in an email, the first line of copy is a bridge from that line. And the very last line should tie into where you started. It keeps you focused. So it's all about one thing. So, you know, I think too many brands and people want to get everything into a message. This keeps you focused. One thing, there's an analogy, like if I throw 8 ping pong balls at you, how many will you catch? You know, you kind of be panicked and probably catch none. If I throw one at you, you're more likely to catch this thing. Yeah. So it's the same with copywriting.
It goes back to be specific again. Jerry Seinfeld, if in his thing, not only did he say the specific brand of peanut butter and bread, if he just said like, put one food on another food, like mm-hmm. the more generic mm-hmm. you get, the more general you get, the less interesting, the less funny, yeah. The more yeah. personality less and humorless you're getting.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So it seems, I mean, I joked about you giving us equations for humor, but a lot of this stuff, there is very much you're going to start with this later. You're going to come back to it.
Yeah.
Like for people who have a hard time with humor, which is really everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, the greatest stand-up comics, probably 1% of their jokes make the stage. So don't mm-hmm. feel bad if mm-hmm. your stuff isn't all landing. You just need to create more stuff and test it, and tweak it and stuff. And
yeah.
It's nobody's jokes all land very well.
I think most people would be shocked at how many headlines or scripts for TV or radio, whatever, are written at like some of the top agencies. They say that the rule of thumb is for every great headline, you have to write 100. This is like pretty common through the advertising industry. So yeah, you build a muscle doing that. You can get a bit quicker, but I think, you know, too many people think of creativity as magic. I think like the end result can kind of feel magical, but there's a lot of structure and process. Speaking mm-hmm. of Seinfeld, man, that guy is a, like a robot with
trial
how he approaches
and error,
his
trial
right.
And error, trial and error. These comedians go out. I live in LA. They go out to the comedy places for like a year ahead of time, testing material, seeing how crowds react to it, revising mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. tweaking it, throwing stuff out because they thought it was hilarious, but nobody else did.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe Andy Kaufman is not the best role model if you're going to write humor for marketing.
Yeah.
Because if you're the only one laughing and the joke is on the audience.
Yeah. Seinfeld is great. Like he has some great lines. I don't have them in front of me, but just his observations. What does he say? If I never order the specials at a restaurant, if they're so special, why aren't they on the menu?
That I hadn't heard that one, but I tell people all the time not to order the specials because I cooked at a bar and grill in college. And I would say, don't order the special at a regular restaurant because that's the thing. The cook has no experience cooking.
Right.
Like or most it's like, of the stuff you cook a burger at a burger place. Okay. The guy's cooking burgers all day, so he can get it good. Make some weird special sandwich.
Yeah.
I was messing up the special every damn time because I only made it once in my life.
Mm-hmm. A pad thai from Gary.
Order the special at the burger joint for God's
sake. Yeah, it's like all the ingredients. They're like, well, this is going bad. We better make something special here, Gary. Don't order the specials.
I hadn't heard that one, but he's absolutely right, and for many reasons, but do not order the special.
I got one more rolling around in my brain. There's no such thing as fun for the whole family. It's another one that he had said. You could easily attach those to kind of brands, and they could be great headlines for something. So he's a great one to watch. He also doesn't, you know, he's not vulgar, doesn't swear. He's quite respectful. They're just funny observations that are relatable.
So I want to take a quick break here, but when we come back, you say he's not vulgar, doesn't swear. There's mm-hmm. been this explosion of brand personalities, particularly in B2B, not consumer, I think, but in B2B being like, oh, our personality is going to be in your face and vulgar. And I say that, and then I'm realizing, oh, wait, the tagline for our show, we're doing the same thing. Yeah. Like, hey, we're adults in B2B, so we can say shit and fuck and stuff like that. And it's cool. Yeah. But some people, you get some of the the most famous B2B people out there, and not even B2B, like you get Gary V, and his whole mm-hmm. brand is every other word is an F-bomb.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who just are constantly using swear words. I had in there. Does your book title have a swear word in it?
No.
Okay. Wow. Come on, no, man.
I'm a mature,
not very hip
guy. Yeah.
There's so many books where it's like, I have one up here, fuck content marketing.
Oh man. Yeah.
They're like, if you don't have to use an asterisk in your title of whatever, then it's not, you know, you're not hardcore kind of.
Yeah.
But that's, there's been a big surge in that. I don't want to get into it now. I'm kind of, let me front load it here. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back. Yeah.
You have to beep that out.
Come back. We'll hit this.
Okay. It'd
be funny just to beep a ton of shit out in this episode for no reason.
Let's do it.
All right. So If You Market podcast, obviously we're listening to, we got Dan Nelken here. Oh, I also want to mention to people how I connected with you. There's a little humor involved in there and a little seriousness, but we're talking to Dan Nelken about humor and copywriting. You're listening to the If You Market podcast, and we'll be right back. Are you looking for new leads or always in need of quality contacts for your marketing campaigns? But list companies and online tools are the worst, right? Well, then you've got to check out Top Data Search by Mountaintop Data. At Mountaintop Data, we're a team of weird people that actually like getting our hands dirty with sales and marketing data, and we specialize in business contact information. We compile and maintain a database of tens of millions of targeted high-quality business decision makers with emails, phone numbers, mailing address, and all the information you need. Go to topdatasearch.com and request a free account with the promo code IYM1000, like If You Market, the podcast here, and get a free account with unlimited searches, no seat fees, and 1,000 free record download credits. That's topdatasearch.com. Welcome back to the If You Market podcast. I hope you enjoyed that commercial. We're here with Dan Nelken of Dan Nelken Creative, or of Nelken Creative. We will not edit that out. Talking That's about fine. Humor and copywriting, using humor in your copywriting. I want to mention, basically, this episode is a public service episode, helping marketers do better creative in all ways through humor.
Yeah.
So before the break, I mentioned a couple things. One, I've always wanted to get a comedian on the show, to get a comic copywriter on the show. So I'm really thrilled to have you on. But the way I ended up reaching out to you was I saw a post you did on, I believe it was LinkedIn, about the death of a comedian.
Yeah.
And a comedian that I really love. And I think so many people loved, and now I'm blanking on his name.
Norm MacDonald.
Norm MacDonald. There we go. So Norm MacDonald dies recently. For this episode, it may be months back, but I saw your post on it. I thought it was funny and reached out to you based on that. And just the wanting to have somebody like you on the show, just showing what humor, you know, how it impacts everybody, how much humor there is in all of our lives, even if we don't realize it, with people like Norm MacDonald and all the shows we watch and what that brings to people's lives and how you can actually do that in your marketing to some degree. Like, your marketing doesn't have to be stuffy and boring.
Yeah. So just for some context, I took a bunch of Norm MacDonald's jokes and then I linked them to like copywriting or creative techniques in advertising to show how this is being done. So it was just techniques. I didn't provide any examples in there. I just kind of shone a light on Norm as a comedian I loved and, man, made me laugh so much in my life and still will, thanks to YouTube. But that post,
I'll share that link in the to that post in the show notes too, because it's a great write-up that you did breaking things down.
You know, it's like I did it the night before. I had an idea because I've been sharing content. I had kind of a structure to it, but it blew up and it shows people want to do that. It was like, I last saw over, I don't know, 200,000 views on whatever. My neighbor reached out and said, oh, I had no idea you were LinkedIn famous.
Said I had no idea you were funny.
Oh, yeah. Or that. Yeah.
It's kind of cheating. I mean, you use Norm MacDonald's.
I know.
Clips. People, so
sometimes I share examples.
Gotta give him credit.
Oh, he gets all the credit. And it's funny when I share examples of like funny, like ads or whatever people attribute it to me. So maybe I'm not that funny, but I'm like, no, I didn't do it. I have done some funny stuff, but I didn't do that. But the Norm Macdonald thing, yeah, it wasn't me. I think it was how I framed it, but people love that. And especially it's like on LinkedIn, it's so boring and people are so stiff in their best behavior, or they have, you know, how many 20-year-old CEOs are on LinkedIn. I changed my title to Chief Creative Ding Dong because I'm like, I don't really get work out of not that I don't care, but and someone hired me because he was looking for a chief creative ding dong, someone who didn't take himself that seriously.
You're looking for humor, then you better not have a super serious. I mean, you could be a humor guru also. That would be
That's true. But I don't even think like the stuff I do is like I do bring personality to it. I want, and I have more than just humor, and that's the thing. I think, like we've said on this, it's having a personality. Humor is one big way to show that personality. It's not my only trick, but I think, you know, I do gravitate towards it, and why the hell not, you know?
So that's how we connected. But then getting to the other thing we're talking about before the break was swearing.
Yeah. Fun.
All the things that'll get you sent to hell in the surge of that in marketing.
Yeah.
I mean, it has its place in humor.
Yeah.
A lot of the humor you see, you know, there's a lot of swearing it, perfectly fine. A lot of people are using it just for impact. We use it for a little combination of the two. But any thoughts on this explosion? I attribute it back to the shit my dad says. I mean, I guess it almost forces personality. You're saying you're jumping off the high dive by swearing. You're saying, oh, shit, now I have to have personality and put out some risk because I'm going to drop an F-bomb.
Yeah.
And so there's no point in running this through committee anymore.
Well, I think what brands used to do would be like, show like sexy women or scantily clad women to get attention. And I don't think swearing is that low, but it's kind of, I think you can tell who's authentic and then who's doing it to be cool or to be edgy. And it's pretty transparent, but I do think it's a trend. I think I was reading recently an old school movie, Gone with the Wind, when Clark Gable said, frankly, my darling, I don't give a damn. That blew up. Like that was the equivalent of shit my dad says. And I think
I would say way worse. I mean, shit my dad says, I don't think anyone was like, oh, we have to boycott this. This person should be hung now. Gone with the Wind saying damn in a movie theater. They were just like, quick, get the women out. They can't hear this. Oh my gosh. It was a major scandal. Yeah.
I think the swearing too with social media opening up and being less censored than TV. I think brands have to compete, and not a lot of brands swear, but I think a lot of personal brands do. I also think a lot of that stuff is more self-helpy, and so they're trying to appeal to a different audience, someone who would never read a self-help book, the like the subtle art of not giving an F. See, I don't even want to say it. I swear normally, but I just feel it can be gratuitous, and some of those books which I've read, it's just every other word. I feel like it's like a good weapon to have, but it's like the gun in your sock kind of, you know, like
it's
once
British
in a while.
People with the C word.
Yeah.
You're dropping a C word constantly. It doesn't work anymore.
Yes.
Sorry, Brits, but you have no idea how much impact that carries here in the States. You
yes.
get like two of those in your life. You guys are every other word.
Yeah.
It's no longer sharp.
Yeah.
So it has its place, it seems, but be careful using it gimmicky or purely to get attention.
Yeah, I would just save them. If you really want to emphasize something, it will be much more effective. And if it's your personality, like, you know, like Gary Vee, he's probably toned down, but he's still, that's his personality and his tone. And I don't know if it's personality, it probably is now if it wasn't. That's helped him stand out for sure.
I had to explain this to my 8-year-old daughter recently. But the bad word was stupid because we were listening to the radio driving and someone said stupid. And she's like, oh, they said a bad word. They said it bad. And I had explained to her that, well, referring to something that is stupid as stupid isn't a bad word. Mm-hmm. Calling somebody that to be mean, it like the context matters. How you're using it was actually effective. It properly used. It's okay. Some bad words have no place really.
Yeah.
And so the emphasis part, though, I mean, we market the shit out of it. We use the super terrible word of shit for emphasis in that spot. We market a whole bunch out of it. Just doesn't quite.
Yeah, the same. It feels conversational.
It's for impact,
human.
Too.
Yes.
Like, So I'd say try to be careful how you use.
Yeah, it doesn't feel forced. It doesn't feel forced. Yeah, I think. Yeah, this kind of sets up. There's no swearing in it, but you know, with the same attitude, one other technique. I don't have examples. There are some in the book, though. For just however much money it costs, I don't know. Yeah. Finding an enemy, and you'll see big brands do this, and they'll kind of go right at each other. But it's like they're two Goliaths, so nobody's really getting hurt, and some can say it's good for both brands. But small brands can also do this. But I think the key is you can't like calling someone stupid, call something stupid. So if you had a coffee, you could take on sleep or naps or fancy teas. Beer could take on wine, where you're not picking on someone or a specific brand. An active brand could take on laziness. So, you know,
you're saying pick on something that can't fight back. That's really nice, man.
Yeah.
I was thinking like, okay, Apple back in the day said, we're going after Microsoft. We're going after, they're the big guy and we're going to make them the bad guy. You're saying this a little bit different in a humor kind of message wise. Again, coffee, go after sleep. Yeah. Don't go after the other coffee maker. Don't say Folgers is shit.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't do that.
Start a war with an inanimate object or a concept or a...
Yes. And that can give you, we talked earlier about how to be funny. You don't sit down and write. Once you have that and you know that laziness is our enemy, you'll get ideas and that will help you be more interesting and have more personality.
Creative seems to flow out of that general concept. Yeah. Fine. Yeah. What's the enemy that your product defeats? Great. Start a war with it.
Yes. It's also good. Some brands and people will do it, you know, to have an enemy for yourself. If it's like creating content, if it's having excuses, anytime it just impacts you. Anytime you have an excuse, I don't have time, I don't have this. And then you've named that as an enemy. It's going to help you get over it. You'll develop that. Some companies will have a list. I've seen one, there was an ad agency, you know, they were like enemy. Complacency was an enemy. They had a list of them and they're crushing it. So it could be good personally too.
Gives you good copy lines and highlights the problem your product solves, which is what you should be doing frequently with your marketing, unless you're a commodity and then just go pure funny.
Yeah. Yes. I got two more. I'll do these kind of quickly. Is embracing your dirt and kind of being self-deprecating. So this is when you can list, these are the things almost you don't want customers to know. They're your flaws or they're the negative things people think about your product, why they won't buy it. Because once you embrace your dirt and you call that out, you cancel out the reason why they won't buy it. And you kind of give them a reason to consider why they should. You're just getting
kind of like a Eminem rap battle
100%
type thing where you're just like, well, now you can't attack me about that because I did it first.
Yeah. Funny. I've heard Gary Vee use that example and I did put it in and reference it.
He got that from me. I bet
it was you. Yes. Yeah, just no, that's now. Right. I think he said, it. Yeah.
He knew I was going to say that.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah. So I'll give some examples. There's Roku, the streaming service. Here's an example of them embracing their dirt. Americans watch 5 hours of TV a day. We can do better. or there's another one. That's one full season per night is all we ask. And there's this great Hans Brinker Budget Hotel is actually their name. They're in Amsterdam. I think it's a complete shithole and they fully embrace that. So they have a lot of amazing headlines. One of them is free wireless available with the neighbor's password. That's a good one. Nice. Yeah.
Back to the Jack in the Box pointing at their stoner clientele kind of and making fun of them.
Yeah.
Ordering 50 tacos or whatever they're buying.
Yeah, because it's when you do this, you know, there's a truth in it. But it's not true. They have Wi-Fi and they're making fun of themselves. And okay, I'm gonna do two more for this. There's a Saskatoon Steakhouse in South Carolina, and they kind of obviously they wild game and they're very meaty, so vegetarians will not like them, and they're okay with that. Clearly, there's plenty of room for all God's creatures, right next to the mashed potatoes. is a line, conserve wildlife today so there's more to eat tomorrow, which is kind of nice and funny. And then let's go. Oh, yeah, we did that one.
Let's say, don't be worried. That shows kind of the don't be worried about offending the people who are never going to buy your product by like conviction.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times marketing is watered down because we're trying to appeal to people who will never buy our product anyways.
But maybe be careful, like if you're selling a candy bar, it's like, because you don't have diabetes yet, might not be the best, although fun, way to pitch it. That's when you comedy went too far. Pull it back.
I am meeting with a candy bar company tomorrow.
Pitch them that one. I'll give it to you.
I will give you credit for that.
Give them your opening pitch with that. And then whatever you say afterward, they'll be like, we like the second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll sell it for sure. Okay. I got one last one, which is very similar to kind of embracing your dirt. It's just being refreshingly honest. So this is different from honesty. There was a Hypo Swiss, it's a private bank. We like our clients because of their money. They like us because of our honesty. That's a little bit on the nose, but it does build trust when you are refreshingly honest like that. And I'm gonna end this. Oh no, I'm gonna end it on one of mine. This example anyway. Volkswagen. We had brought them up earlier as a good example. They have a little car. It's like a kind of little smart car called the Volkswagen Up. It's very like unassuming. There's nothing too fancy about it. And one of their headlines, this car will help you up the corporate ladder. Just drive it to work early and work really hard. and they had a series of lines like that were so awesome. And then I often do for my newsletter, because I never really wanted a newsletter. People were like, I miss your posts. You should have a newsletter. So I just started to tag these articles I was writing. Let's say to subscribe.
I think Twitter is for people who other people want them to write a newsletter, but they don't want to. You can just do a newsletter tweet.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I used to say, you know, subscribe to this newsletter. I may never start at this kind of whatever URL. And so people were doing it. And then I thought, well, now I guess I have to start it. But I know the reason I didn't want one is because I unsubscribed to them, because they all at some point get too salesy or veer off of.
I'll give you another one now. Well, I think we'll put this for our newsletter. Subscribe to this newsletter so we can have your email.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So I always say become a future unsubscriber or something like that. I just embrace it and people know it. There is a truth in it. It's refreshingly honest.
If you don't put your email here, you can never unsubscribe.
Yes. Yes, exactly. The journey to unsubscribing starts here. All stuff I've used. So yeah, those are, I have, I'm not trying to sell the book when I say this, but maybe I am. What's wrong with that?
Let's sell a book, man. You don't write a book to not sell it. Come on. It's okay to sell stuff on the show.
That's true.
In fact, we barely got to you.
Oh, I know.
So we'll spend all the time on the book.
Okay. People in advertising, I think, or people who build websites, I think are horrible at doing the same for themselves. There's a guy actually a few years ago, I reached out to redo my website, a designer. He built websites and his website said under construction. And I was like, what the hell? He's like, I've never been busier, so I'm just not going to do it. So I was so inspired. I still don't have one to this day. I have all it is a subscribe to the newsletter.
One of the best event booths I've ever seen was unintentional, I believe. Mm-hmm. Because the brand was something like Always Present or something like that, that was, mm-hmm. and they didn't make it to the event. So it was an empty that just had like the generic white name up in black text placeholder there for when they come and actually set up. And everybody was coming by taking pictures with the booth. Yeah, like, awesome. Oh, look how funny this is. Look how I run. And I was like, man, I think they got more out of this event by not showing up.
Yeah, that's when a pun really works there, unintentionally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sorry, I cut you off there.
No. I don't know what I was saying. I was selling my book.
Yeah, let's sell your, by the way. So we're getting to the end here. Let's sell your book. You got a book coming out. The stuff we've been talking about here, your book is all about headlines, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
we get around a bit, but a lot of headline talk.
Yeah, a lot of headline talk. But I think the foundation to writing, like I said at the beginning, is thinking. And so I provide a foundation. I've really dumbed it down. I think I've said it's like the dumbest book ever written on copywriting. So the target was copywriters, because I know they struggle with, self-doubt, and there's not a lot, I think a lot of creative people do. There's not a lot out there to help build craft in a way that's just dumb. And I really broke it down. And so I think in doing that, It also will help anyone who, you know, if you have to write more for your brand or whatever your dating profile, it will help you be a better writer. So, over 200 examples.
That, two things. One, get Dan's book. Two, take an improv class. I think improv classes are great. I've recommended this before for people for copywriting and humor in general. And if you want to, maybe you still chance to retitle your book here.
Yeah, a swear word.
For shit's sake, how to make people think you're funny and smart. Like you say, there's all these examples, type of stuff we've been talking about, but the techniques you've given, again, people think either you already think you're funny, but deep down inside, you know, you could be a lot funnier, or you don't think you're funny and would like to be able to. Having these actual techniques, like the ones you've gone over, some of yours here are really, and some you'll be like, oh yeah, I wrote something good once and it did that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why you can actually, don't feel like you have to pull it out of a hat to be funny. Yeah. The comedians have formulas they use. They have techniques they use. They have things you go fall back on to make sure things land. You still got to come up with the concept and the good little things, and you got to come up with 200 of them to find a couple good ones.
Yeah.
I think your book would be a great start for people.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you. Yes.
Or a great finish, or great anywhere along the path, for Christ's sake. So I think this is a good spot to wrap it up here. We're talking with Dan Nelken. I'm going to have all the notes on the show notes here. And don't worry, the sound in the background there, we're going to edit you out right now. Just me talking. So nobody will even know what the hell I'm talking about.
It's my daughter and my in-laws coming back with my daughter. There,
so the
go.
Show
crashing
notes,
the party.
We'll have links to you anywhere you want people to find you. You want them to go to your blank website. Where can we direct
blank them? Website. I would go, it's nelkencreative.com. I think the best place right now too is probably LinkedIn. If you're not on LinkedIn, just go to my website. I think those are the two best places to find me right now.
I would say if you're not on LinkedIn, why are you listening to a B2B marketing podcast? For God's sakes, even just for the humor of it, go create a LinkedIn profile and get on there.
Exactly.
And we'll have a link to the Norm Macdonald post. Read that one. It's great. Yeah. Great post there. We'll have a link to your book too. It'll be out by the time we air this anyway.
Yeah.
And on behalf of the If You Market team here and Dan Nelken of Nelken Creative, thank you for listening to the If You Market podcast, where we believe if you market the shit out of it with humor, they will come.
Thanks, Scott.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.